So this is,
Yeah, that's on the marriages, et cetera.
Sit over here.
That's all, okay. I was gonna move over. There were a lot of gems. Okay, he's got the descendant of, oh, he must have done this over. Okay.
Yeah, but back to John Persip and Molly O'Dell, that's as far back as I got.
Yeah, and then, see, there's another gem. We haven't figured out who they are yet. And it goes to William Hewitt. Oh, I see what he's got. He didn't do that.
Yeah, I can, yeah.
I don't know if you could make anything out of this or not.
Yes, I'm familiar with these.
Yeah, he's got who the men married, who the women married, whatever. All the way up until, see, Uncle Charlie never got married. That's this one.
Mm-hmm.
And May is Uncle George's one. I mean, Uncle Earl. So that's this one. I don't understand that.
Yeah.
But here he's done that, what I was talking about. The lines. That goes with.
Oh, that's okay. I can make sense of these. Oh, mostly because, you know.
Well, some of these are the same. That's why I was wondering. What. How he's got these. Because when he showed me this before, I put two together and made one.
Yeah, it
and
looks like.
I was asking her which is which. This is mark three. Is that mark up in the corner?
This is one.
Okay, where's two?
This is one.
Here's two.
Yeah, okay.
Here's three.
What do you know about the Portuguese ancestry? Like, what can you tell me based on family stories?
There were two brothers that came here to land in Cummington. One stayed here, one went out west. And that's all we ever knew. They never were able to find the other one that went out west. They didn't know where he went.
And what about the story of John Persip stowing away on a ship?
No one in the family ever remembers hearing that. So I think somebody might have made it up. Because my father used to get quite angry when he would hear people say that. He'd say they did not. So, I mean, if there were two of them, why doesn't it say the two of them did?
Right.
You know? But anyway, he said they didn't. Now, how they got here, I don't know. I don't know if anybody talked about it that much so that they would have even have known. So it's too bad, really. But the funny part about it is that anyone that is Portuguese, when you say the name right away, they say, oh, you're Portuguese. And because my daughter lived in California, she took my father to the botanical garden down there, and they saw a gardener. And they got to talking, and one thing after the other, and so he asked my father, who was he? He asked my daughter, who was she? When he told him, he said, oh, he tried to speak Portuguese. No. They didn't learn it.
Right.
And there were some people right here in Pittsburgh that were very close friends to my father and my brother-in-law, and they were from Portugal, and they recognized the name. I think I told you, they said we didn't say it right.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, the worst part of it is there's two or three spellings, so it's hard to determine which is which. And, of course, not having ever been there, I don't know the difference. So, and no one has ever said what the difference is. So,
And you mentioned, too, that your family has a tendency to identify more with the Portuguese ancestry versus the African-American. Can you maybe expound on that a little more?
Not really.
Well,
except for what it is. Actually, no one ever said anything one way or the other. Except when we were growing up, there was always told we were Portuguese, Indian, and Dutch. The Dutch is on my mother's side.
Mm.
The Indian was on both sides. And we never made distinctions of one way or the other. We grew up in a neighborhood that had Italian, Polish, French. We all played together. We all went around together, slept in each other's house overnight,
yeah.
Had fights with each other. And Mrs. Burkowski used to say to my mother, we won't bother them because they'll be friends, and if we fight, we won't. That's the way it used to be, you know. And of course, they always taught us the wrong words in their language. As we got older, we sort of forgot what they were. But we never made any distinction one way or the other. And then, this is something my husband doesn't like me to say, but it's true. My father used to say everything was all right. No one cared who you were until they came.
Mm-hmm.
They, meaning when the black people moved up from the south during the war.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a bad girl.
What are you going to tell me?
Well, it's not that bad. But they were picketing Woolworths. I don't know if you've ever heard that story about how they wouldn't serve them down south in the counter at Woolworths. And so the NAACP suggested they picketed the store. They picket the store.
In Pittsfield, well, right?
In Pittsfield, mm-hmm. And any place else that would go mm-hmm. along with it. Well, there was something I wanted in Woolworths, and I didn't think one way or the other. I knew I wanted to get in there. I walked in there. When I came out, they were calling me all kinds of names. I could have cared less.
Yeah.
What was happening down south? Maybe I shouldn't say that. But, I mean, that was their problem, not mine. I knew what I wanted. But it's always been that way. As far as the NAACP goes, my father joined it. He was in it for a while, and he got out because he said, I think it was cause trouble.
Mm.
And he didn't agree with them.
Mm.
And so then when they started, well, my daughter is from South Carolina, and Jesse Jackson was one of her favorites, is. And I said to her one time, I don't like Jesse Jackson. She got mad at me. She said, why? I said, because he doesn't talk, he screams. And I noticed most people in his position scream. They don't talk. They start preaching and their voice goes up, up, up. And they're screaming. And he is the one that started the black and then African-American. And when he did, we all decided we didn't like either one of those names. First of all, we were growing up, we were covered.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody cared what you were actually. Not right. Here in Pittsfield. Like I said, we played with everybody in school.
There wasn't much of a colored or black population here, though.
No, there was the Persips, Hamiltons, the Hooses, the Moorheads, the Guns were in Stockbridge. This is what I was growing up.
Mm-hmm.
But before that, there were just the Persips, Hamiltons, Hooses. And Caesars. Yeah, Caesars.
Mm-hmm.
They were in Dalton. And so there must have been some intermarriage someplace along the line because there weren't that many.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, in school, I think there was never any who are you or what you are or whatever. And as far as Pittsfield itself goes, there was some slight discrimination, but it was hidden, more or less. they didn't come right out and say things, and it was only one or two places maybe. In fact, there was a restaurant on West Street. We went in there once. We knew the lady wasn't going to wait on us. It wasn't the owners. It was this one particular woman. So we sat at her table, and she walked back and forth. She brought us water and put it down, and I'll be back for order. Well, after about 10, 15 minutes, and the place wasn't that crowded. My cousin knew how to tip up the glass of water without spilling it. She tipped up all four of our glasses of water, and we got up and walked out. But, I mean, it was that type of just one or two. Well, we found out later the lady got fired because the owner didn't like the way she was discriminating against people. But even my brother has said, when he was growing up, he never really did any of that. Once in a while, somebody might say something like that. That was just that one person.
Right.
So then when they started the African American, like they said, we just decided we didn't like it. We weren't going to be part of it. One of my cousins said, we don't look like them. So, I mean, exactly what do they look like? Well, one thing, they're all darker,
right.
The majority of them, and their features are different, more distinct, I guess, than ours.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm sounding like I'm discriminating. But, anyway, I mean, that's the way it is.
But there's an obvious physical difference,
yeah,
it would seem.
Right.
Yeah.
And whenever we wanted to do anything, we just did it. And then when the people started coming up here, that's when all the discrimination started and this, that, the other, and it was them, not the people that were here, that started talking about, they won't hire me, they won't do this, they won't do that, they hire you because you're a person. No. They hired you because you were qualified.
Right.
Now, because of who you were. There have been stories, I don't know if you know Wilbur Stockton or have heard of him. He used to be a councilman here in Pittsburgh. And he's still living in Pittsburgh. But anyway, somebody complained to him that they wouldn't hire them in some business, I don't know which one it was. So he thought he would be nice and go see what the problem was. He looked at the girl's application. He couldn't even read it. She didn't fill it in the way it was supposed to have been filled in. She was definitely not qualified, but she was using her color as a reason for not being hired. You don't do things like that. You want something, you get qualified. I was going to go to nurse training, and I went to BMC. It was Pittsburgh General then. Went to Pittsburgh General, my friend and I were going to go in training, and we got a call from the nurse that was the head of nurses at the time, and she said that they would have to take a poll amongst the parents. The girls didn't mind if we went in training with them, but they'd have to see what the parents said. But that riled me up. My father worked for Reverend Gregg at the time, and he has a lot to do with it. He went up, and that's how we found out about that situation. And then I went to St. Louis. I called up, made an appointment. When I walked in, the first thing the nun says is, why don't you come to us first? They didn't say what color we were or anything. And so that's where we went. And the only thing I don't like nowadays, it's always the first African American. They don't say the first Italian, the first French. Why do they have to say that? I mean, it's just the way things are. Like I said that to my minister, associate minister, and about that, and she says, well, don't feel bad, because they say she's the first woman, or she is a woman, and you know, when they say something. And so she said, but I have to get over it. But I don't feel like you should have to get over it. I think they should get over it. I went to the mayor. When Stephanie was here, Stephanie Wilson,
yesterday. Oh, yes.
I listened to the radio, and he's talking, because I was working with RSVP that day, so I didn't really get to see her until she came to the reception at the Colonial. And when they had all the stuff at City Hall, when the mayor spoke and all that stuff, I was listening to it later on the radio. And he said something about she was a credit to her race. And my blood pressure went up. The next time I saw the mayor, I said, I gotta speak to you a minute, please. He says, now what? I'm always telling him something. And so I said, I'm not offended, or I'm not insulted, but I said, I have to tell you something you should never do again. Don't you ever say a person is a credit to their race. They're a credit to themselves. They wanted to achieve whatever it was they achieved, and they worked for it. The race didn't work for it.
Right.
And this is a hangover from my father. When Joe Louis was boxing,
mm-hmm.
and they used to come on and they'd say, he's a credit to his race. He won another fight. You know, all this stuff. He is not. He's the one that fought. He's a credit to himself. So this is a hangover. But it's true.
That makes a lot of sense.
It is true. And so the bear said, I said that? I said, well, in so many words you did, yes. He said, well, I won't do it again. I said, that's good. And then another thing that irritated me and my sister, why did they have to have a black minister open up the program, black choir sing from the black church, and the step dancers? If it was an Italian person or a Polish person, they wouldn't have done that. They wouldn't have had all Polish people or whatever. That's discrimination. It's subtle, but it's discrimination, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And my cousins feel the same way. Well, after you had been to see Eleanor went to my cousin, and she said, Frances, do you consider yourself African-American? No way. She went to Mildred, do you consider yourself African-American? Nope. So it's just gone down through the generations. They're people.
Oh, absolutely.
So, I mean, it's just the way it is, I guess. But it's one of those things. Just like I belong to a whole bunch of things. But I went to a meeting of the Pittsburgh Area Council of Churches, and the new president came in. And he said, good morning. I said, good morning. And he said, you're from the Second Congregational Church. And I said, no, First Baptist. And he looked. Oh, I take after my mother. I looked at him and I said, why is it just because you have brown skin you have to be a member of the Second Congregational Church? I'm sorry, I didn't mean anything by it. But he never said it again. I know he didn't, but it's just the fact that he automatically looked at me and thought that I represented this. I said, no, I represent First Baptist Church and Church Women United. Represent Church Women United for I don't know how many years of that with the Council of Churches. But it's just the way it goes. So
is the other generations, are they associated with the Baptist Church as well?
Yeah, when the church was built, when it was on North Street, my grandparents were members of it.
Mm, okay.
So they've always been a fit. Here we go again. But there weren't that many other people around here. They were the only ones that went to that church. People of color.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They were the only ones. But, excuse me. When they built the church on South Street, when they were leaving the one on North Street, my grandmother and my aunt had signed a quilt, and that's weird. They made, the women's group made a quilt, and for 10 cents they'd embroider your name on it, and they put that money towards the church, and then they sold bricks. There's a picture of the church. There's a picture of the church, and it shows all these bricks with numbers, and then corresponding to the numbers down below the picture are the names. My grandmother's name's on that.
Your grandmother being?
Alice.
Alice Hamilton?
So we've always gone there. My mother was Episcopal. She was born in Connecticut, mm-hmm. South Carolina. She went to the Episcopal Church, and she went there. She had a membership there for years and years and years. Then somebody talked to her going to the congregation, the Second Congregation. She didn't particularly like that. So she went back to Episcopal, then she'd come to church with us when we got baptized and all that. She'd come to church with us, and then about maybe 20 years or so before she died, she joined the Baptist Church. But she was always in Episcopal. We Well, my cousin Francis would tell you, they went for work. They got out of school, they went to work. My mother and my Aunt May insisted on educating their children. So if somebody said, why don't the kids quit school and go to work, that was bad, mm-hmm. very bad. And so we went to work. I mean, they went to work. We all got educated. Only two in Uncle Johnny's family graduated from high school. He had quite a few, as you'll see. And there was just that much difference. And when we were growing up, even they that didn't go to high school were considered snobs because we didn't do what the black kids in Pittsfield did. And they used to laugh at my brother because he used to go to Tanglewood all the time. And he used to take me to concerts, symphonies at Pittsfield High School. They used to have them there. And they had a beautiful auditorium right there. But anyhow, they used to have things like that. And we would do things like that. And just a whole different perspective from what the other kids did. And we lived on another street, somebody up here. We were always called Kids on the Hill by the other kids.
The other black kids? Or?
Yeah. Because, I mean, we were friends with them. We'd go to parties with them and stuff like that. But if we would say, there's going to be a concert, you want to go to the concert? No, are you kidding? You know, they just didn't like the same things. Mm-hmm. So I guess you might say we were discriminated against growing up by them,
interesting, yeah.
Their own kids. And so when they started this is Sneed, mm-hmm. when she started that, we all said, why are they asking us? You know? So, I mean, but there again, it's like the man came to church a couple of weeks ago to talk about the Indians in Stockbridge. Well, naturally, because he talked about them, he had to cover all this mm-hmm. area too, and part of New York State. And previous to him speaking, I said something to him about my father said we were Mohicans with a C. His grandmother was a full-blooded Indian. And he said, well, that's a possibility.
His grandmother being?
My father's grandmother.
What's her name?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know what her name was. And
okay. Okay. Go ahead.
It had to be one of the Johns, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, this man from Stockbridge, he looked at me and I said, just because I got brown skin doesn't mean that I couldn't be of Indian blood. He started laughing. He said, no, because he's been in news that are really black. And I did too. I went up to Powell on a Mohawk Trail. I was shocked. I really was. I didn't know the Indians were that black.
Yeah.
And they were. But he told me they were from the West, the real black one. Now that is what I would call a black American, an African American. I have cousins that are real light. And my brother had a friend. He looked at my cousin and said, how can you call her black? She's whiter than I am. And he was white. He was Swedish. Mm-hmm. And so I said, I don't know. That's why. I don't know why they have to label everybody anyhow. It doesn't make sense to me. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know the census has to have so many for this and so many for that. And if you want a grant, you got to have so many of this and other. Like they used to say, the token black, because you had to have at least 5 or 6 in your employ to get recognition for different things and all that stuff. So, but I think the whole thing boils down to the fact that if you have brown skin, no matter what color brown it is, you're automatically put in that category. And like I said, we have the right to say that we're not, and we don't agree with them. And if people don't agree with us, we don't care. So, that's how that goes. I often wish my father had talked more about the family than Uncle Charlie. They were out here, naturally, before my Uncle Charlie died. It would be after. they were discussing the family, and we kept asking questions, but we never got back far enough because the more present they got to talking about was so interesting, you just kept asking questions mm-hmm. about them, and then you would go back a little bit farther, and they'd answer, but we never got to the very beginning. So I don't know how you could do that. Now, this man in Stockbridge said, I can't think of his name, the Indian storyteller. He's going to, when they start doing Indian heritage research, he's going to call me because he thinks we might be able to make a connection somewhere along the line. The man in Stockbridge said, if I don't learn anything from them, to call him because he knows an Indian in New York that is looking into heritages, and she might be able to find something. So I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, my husband got Indian on his side. Of course, me and my people and the Indians were here, intermarried with Indians anyway.
Mm-hmm. The other families you mentioned that were here at the same time as the Perseps, the Hamiltons.
The Hamiltons, the Hussas.
Mm-hmm.
The Caesars.
Were they black or African American?
The Caesars were. The Caesars were, well, what they call now, they were black, yeah. But, and they were fair skinned too, in comparison to
mm-hmm.
the others. And they were Indian. A lot of Indian, Mr. Caesar. He had other. When you look at pictures of Indians, you were looking at him.
Oh, yeah.
Was really a lot of Indian in him. I don't know too much about the Hussas. I really don't. They lived in Dalton, I can tell you that much. But in fact, my husband was just talking to me. We went to a party for the Master Gardeners, and Alina was talking to my husband about their going to have the house that the Hussas lived in. They're trying to make it historical,
mm-hmm.
and that's in Dalton. But they had to wait a whole year because they couldn't find any people that were survivors of the family, which is kind of strange. And they had to wait a whole year, they said, before they could take it over while they were looking for people that might come in to say, hey, that's my house, or whatever. Similar to the project they're doing at the Harris House
mm-hmm.
in Pittsfield.
Harrison.
Yeah. So, anyhow.
And the Hamilton, now that Hamilton's part of your family, right? The Hamiltons?
Yeah. They used to live, well, my father always talked about his father walked from Hinsdale to South Mountain Road to court my grandmother. So they lived on South Mountain Road. So, I don't know about the rest of them. There was Hannah Anna, Bert, and they were sisters of Alice.
Mm.
I don't know if she had brothers or not. Wait a minute. She did, I think, have one brother that I know of. Have you ever heard of Charles Hamilton, the basketball player, and he became a teacher? It was his grandfather. Yeah, his grandfather.
There was a... I read somewhere that one of the Hamiltons fought in the Civil War.
Yeah. I think that was my grandmother's, either her grandfather or somebody, because my father had a book by Civil War. I wish I knew what happened to that book. And it had other names of all of the people that fought the Civil War from around this area.
Mm-hmm.
And he prized that book, and I don't know what happened to it. And he used to say that was his great-grandfather or something like that. So,
yeah. Because the reference I read said that he fought in the 54th, the Black Regiment from Massachusetts. But I haven't been able to find...
You know, I don't know. I heard that myself,
mm-hmm.
but I've never gone back or seen anything back that far to say that he actually did.
And now that was the Hamilton family, you said were Dutch, right?
No, my mother's family.
Oh.
Her places.
Oh, okay.
In Connecticut.
Okay,
yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. And then Uncle Johnny married Grant's. And she found a whole bunch of pictures, and she brought them over to my cousins, and he was there one day, and he said, give me those. He took them, and he took pictures of them and put them on tape, you know, VHS.
Mm-hmm.
We were out here showing it one day. My great-grandson came in, and he's looking. Who are those people? And we said, those are aunts, uncles, and cousins, well, way back when. Spooks and us all listening. He kept looking. They looked white. I said, well, that's the way they look. And what else could I say? I didn't know. And of course, he's mixed. He's a mulatto.
Mm-hmm.
So, my grandson, this is what gets me. He's got two kids, a boy and a girl. Both of their mothers are white. Either one of them wants to get married. So they didn't, but he's got the kids every other weekend, and whenever the mothers don't want to bother with them, he's got them. So, but anyway, they're cute kids, I think. So. But this is what they said when they looked at their pictures. He could have, and he was 12 at the time. He's 16 now. He was 12. He kept looking at them. They looked like. I really don't.
Well, there,
I tried to find it because I was going to show it to you, and I can't find it. But if I ever come across it, I'll call you sometime.
There's in the research that I did on, you know, Portuguese history. I mean, there was a lot of intermixing with, you know, blacks,
yeah, were,
slaves.
Like my
stuff.
My daughter says that the Portuguese had slaves. So did the Chinese. So did some of the other,
yeah.
You know, and so. That I don't know if they were, I don't know which part they were, if they were the owners or the slaves,
right.
I don't know,
right.
Because I haven't been able to get that far back, but I mean, as far as it goes, my brother and I are the darkest ones of most, the whole cotton picking family, all the ones you go to, we're the darkest ones, the one you met Eleanor,
mm-hmm.
She's the one like the family, you know, so it's hard to say. So if you want to go by color, it's hard to say. So
looks like you have a good tan.
I don't know.
It looks like you've been in the sun, that's all. I mean, I never would have.
No,
and
I mean,
it's
husband used to say, I wasn't good enough. He still does. Now, just what he means, I make my own conclusions.
Right.
But my daughter's real nice. She's like my mother. My son is like him.
Mm-hmm.
Not quite as dark. What do you expect?
Oh.
When you mix them all up. But it's hard to say, really. And it's not that you're trying to be something that you're not.
No.
It's just
and it's
actually, it boils down to the fact that you're trying to find who you really are. So.
And I think, too, I think when in this area, especially well, Berkshire County or just the North in general, such a predominantly white community for so long, and like the African American project that Francis is about, then it, you know, that black history has been, you know, basically ignored, and so, you know, they're trying to bring it up, and, you know, there's a certain amount of pride, and, you know,
So,
it seems like a lot of people are starting to, and not just blacks. I mean, I've read of other, you know, people focusing on, like, you know, the Polish community, you know, certain communities that if, you know, you weren't white, you know, your history wasn't considered as important.
I know, because when he started working down the archives a lot, and even now, a couple of weeks ago, they called him up and asked him if he could come down, because one of the schools, the kids were going down. Now, he said the same thing. It's hard to find who they are, because so many of the kids nowadays don't have a father.
Mm-hmm.
Or they don't know who their father is. If they do know, then it's easier. But a lot of the kids don't know who their father is, and he said it's very difficult to look up ancestry.
And it's difficult, too, just you know, the intermixing of races anymore. There's not just one,
right.
You know.
So it's hard. But he's been working down there, gee, for a long time. I can't remember how long. But, yeah. He was born. No, I don't know what he was. His father was the man. His mother was the man. He went back. Then he came here. Of course, we're going with the white kids all the time.
Mm-hmm.
The church, like this, like that. I'm not thinking about it. He is.
Mm-hmm.
Because they are available. And for the longest time, and then all of a sudden, Johnny Country Club, my sister was up there. Not because she was there, but it was. He knew he would be accepted.
Yeah.
He joined the country club. Then he started going to church. He started doing this, that, and the other. Now he's the only, as he says, the Chinese in the group. He became used to it. This is what you do. If you want to do anything with any type of education, sure, there are a lot of people here now that have good education,
mm-hmm.
and they do a lot of things. But they're what I call influence. Was important here.
Right, right. I'm an import.
I mean, really, they're not native to the area. Right. And that's another thing. I understand it, that Indians are beginning to try to decide, should they be Native Americans or Americans? American Indian or Native Americans, that's what it is. So I don't know how they're going to end up with that either.
Interesting.
See, all of this comes from some one person saying we should do such, such, such. We got to categorize this, whatever. Now, I got a letter the other day from women of color. I joined it when we first started. I did not join it last year. I got a letter the other day saying would I rescinded my dues if I had already sent them as a letter. And then it lists a bunch of things I want to do. And this is why Ellen is getting out, and this is why I didn't join last year, and I'm not going to join this year. And I'm going to write them a note saying so. And they will call me a snob again. And I don't care, I'm used to it. Because one of their things they're saying is collecting toys for children. And in parentheses, African American only. I don't agree with that. And what's the next line say? They're going to KB to ask them to contribute toys. So if they're so hep on just giving them to the colored kids, why are they going to the white business company to ask them for toys? That's not right. That is definitely not right. And I mean, that's as bad as years ago over at the Amherst, at the college. A whole bunch of black kids got together. They wanted their own dormitory. And the first thing came to my mind is the self-discrimination.
Mm.
Why would they want their own dormitory? That's stupid. So they do things to themselves. So now you know why I don't want to be one of them.
So you're comfortable with the classification of color in general, just because it's any color, not just...
Yeah, well,
African-American.
Eleanor and I spoke about that several times.
But if you had to pick a category.
Well, we say, if you say people of color, then it doesn't mean what you are. You can be Indian, Chinese,
right.
Korean, anything you want.
Right.
People of color, even East Indians.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are browner than we are. I worked at the hospital and some of the them came and the doctors and they'd look at me and I'd look at them. They were browner than mine. I mean, but yet they did not say they were colored or people mm-hmm. of color because they can speak a funny language. My mother could go anywhere she wanted to. No one would know what she was one way or the other. In fact, there was a fruit stand on Tyler Street and it was run by Lebanese and they thought she was one day. I took her out there one day, she gets out the car and she's looking around at me and comes up and starts talking to her and she looked at her and she said, I'm sorry, I don't understand you. You're not Lebanese? She said, no. So, I mean, you know,
right.
It's just one of these things. But, no, Elder and I agree, we'll go along with people of color. My brother said he'd go along with that. So, but the whole thing is, neither one of us like the distinction.
Right.
So, I mean, either you are or you're not, or you're in between. Of course, you got a lot of people that years ago used to talk about passing. I don't know if you ever heard that. Mm-hmm. People that were real light, but they were supposedly African-American, color, whatever you want to call it. They were real light. They would go different places, and they pretend that they were white. And that's what they used to say. They would pass.
Yes.
Yeah, because no one would say anything. My mother and a friend of hers, she told me this, her friend went down south. She was from the south, but she had moved up here. She did everything with the white woman. Nobody knew what she was. She was passing. And mm-hmm. nobody said anything. My mother just said, if she went down south, she'd come back in the box. Because I could have done that. When we got married, 47, he had 1 year to finish at Tuskegee. So we went. I went back with him. And the girl next door, we lived in what used to be the soldiers' barracks. They converted them so the married students would have an apartment. And the girl next door, her father was the janitor at the school. And we became quite good friends. And one day she took me downtown. And we went to one of the five and dimes. And I picked up something I wanted. I brought it over to the counter. And this white lady walked up and woman put my stuff down and went over to her. And I said, I was here first. The girl that took me downtown, she walked away from me. And I didn't know. I thought she's gone to look at something else. Okay, so then we're leaving. Then anyway, the lady waited on the other woman and she came back and finished waiting on me. We're leaving the store and I said, boy, it's hot. And I saw the water fountain. I went over and I was drinking out of the fountain and she's pulling on me like crazy and I raised my hand and said, what are you doing? And I saw the sign. And I said, I'm not poison, they won't die. And I finished drinking and walked out. She swore she'd never take me downtown again because I spoke up too much when I wasn't supposed to. How was I supposed to? I wasn't supposed to. I did when I was here. If I was here and I said I was here first, they would have dropped it and they waited on me and then gone back. So, I mean, it was just the way I was brought up. So, I don't know. But anyhow.
You were the next Rosa Parks.
Yeah, right. Right. And that's what my mother used to say, that she'd come back in the box because she was beat that out.
Right.
So, I don't know. But anyhow.
Oh, that's great.
That's the way that goes.
That's, you know.
Did whatever we wanted to do, went wherever we wanted to do, or to go. No one thought of anything, like my son, until my father said, until they came. Then that's when all the talk about what if you were colored, they won't hire me because I am, they won't do that. And they still do that.
Right.
They won't hire me because I'm black. Are you qualified? What do you mean? What do you know what you're getting into? Do you know how to do that job? Blah, 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 blah. Yesterday, your son called up. He's in San Jose, California. And this is where he worked with computers. Then they started downsizing, firing.
Mm-hmm.
Fancy
yeah.
name for laying off.
Right, right.
Yeah. Okay, so he went to work in Macy's at Christmas time. They liked what he did. They hired him. He worked for about 3 months. They made him manager of one of the department, the men's department. So one day he said he noticed this woman who keep looking. Well, actually somebody said it to him. That lady keeps watching you. And so he didn't know who she was. So after the second or third day, he walked over to him and said, "Doug, is there something I can help you with? I noticed you keep following me around the store." And she said, yes. So she gave him a card. It was her shoe company, Marmy. And she said that a woman was working for them that had worked under him at Macy's. And she said when they were looking for a manager in the shoe store, she recommended him because he was the best manager she had worked under. Now, manager in a store like Macy's and manager of a shoe store are two different things,
mm-hmm.
because he had complete control of that. They had a big meeting. He's been with them for about a year or so now, a little over a year. They have big meetings every once in a while, San Francisco or whatever. He went to when he had to go. And he got a call the other day. They had done a survey of the managers of all the different shoe stores in the area. They were not working the hours they were supposed to work. And they told him he needed to take time off because he worked too many hours. Which was good because he wants to come home for Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
So he asked them if he could come home for Christmas. They said yes.
Oh, good.
So he would take those days off. And his assistant manager will have to run the store. But I said, oh, that's weird. He said he never thought that he was putting in that many hours. He just went to work instead of it. And sometimes he did overtime and all. But they didn't do overtime, but they also, I guess, did not do their 40-hour week either.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. But there again, you pat yourself on the back and
that's
say,
right.
Well, that's the way you were brought up.
That's right. Homestead and Hinsdale.
Okay, Eleanor was left the property. And when Cora died, we went up there, and the house used to be really nice. It really was. It was nice and clean, and we had parties and all that type of stuff up there. It was really nice. Then, let's see, Jessie died. Jessie was Cora's sister. She died first. And then, because Eleanor was named after their mother, they deeded everything to her. And we had a heck of a time because the other persons wanted it, blah, blah, blah. But because it was just written, there was no legal anything. So we got the lawyer, and the lawyer said because it had been written and it was witnessed, it was legal. So that's how come Eleanor got the property. Well, in the meantime, people went up there and they just took whatever they wanted. And by the time Eleanor was able to get up there, just about anything of any value was gone. And my father and Eleanor and I went up and we just cleaned it all out. And then Eleanor, the camp wanted to buy it,
mm-hmm.
and Eleanor sold them some of the property. She sold the property that was on the lake, and she sold property that was in town because she decided she didn't want to bother with it anymore. So there was three pieces of property she just got rid of. Everybody was mad at her about because we wanted her to keep some of it anyway,
mm-hmm.
and at least the lake property. But she didn't. So, of course, it was her, so we couldn't say anything.
Right.
Right. And so, yeah.